In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Glad to be with you today. Today I want to talk a little bit about heaven. I had a mass this morning, and the lady had died. She was in her 90s. And I started to reflect upon heaven. I started to remember Keith, when Keith died and went to the anteroom of heaven. He didn't want to come back. And he met his father and his uncle, and they said, "You've got to go back. You've got to go back." He says, "No, the love I'm experiencing, the presence of God is so wonderful." It wasn't even heaven. It was the anteroom of heaven. That's how he described it. And yet, he was sent back. And the father and uncle told him some things he had to do when he came back. And one day, he was at the Franciscan Center in Brighton, where children are really terminal. And he and Mary Maloney happens to be my friend. I'm sure she's in heaven. He and Mary Maloney were anointing the children with oil. And he started to weep, and the Lord said, "Don't anoint them with oil, anoint them with your tears." So he immediately started to anoint the children with his tears, and everyone he anointed with his tears jumped up and got healed, literally got healed. And you say, that couldn't have happened. I'm telling you, one of the young men was on Pat Robertson's show and witnessed to it, that a man came and he blessed us with his tears, and we were all healed. This is real stuff. I tell you, that's what heaven is all about. Heaven is all about the grace of God. Heaven is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Heaven is all about the presence of God. Don't we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Oh yes, that's what we pray. But I wonder if we expect that to happen, that the kingdom of God would come, that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is exactly what Jesus told us to pray. And I have not experienced that. I have not experienced that the kingdom would come and the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the prayer that we pray, and that is done in the Holy Spirit. Well, I also remember my mother, when she was dying, she said to my brother, "Your father came to visit me." My brother said, "Daddy's been dead since 1980. But you know what? I believe that my father was sent to ease the gap, or close the gap between heaven and earth. I believe that. I truly believe that. And there are people waiting for those people that are dying. They're waiting for the Christians that are dying. They're at the river, and at that river, they're going to greet those people, because in heaven, no one says goodbye. Everyone says hello. No one says goodbye. Everyone says hello. I remember someone who else who died, and they didn't go to heaven, and they went to another place, and it was awful. And this person said, "If you send me back, I will seek to serve you." Not even "I will serve you," but "I will seek to serve you." And these two hands came and brought her back to the earth. I tell you, heaven is real. Heaven is real. It is not something that's not real. It is absolutely real. As a matter of fact, heaven is more real than the earth. I also remember a woman coming to me. She was dressed in her African garb, and she was so beautiful, she and her daughter. And they said to me, "You know, someone cursed our food." And I said, "Well, you know, have you gone to the psychiatrist?" And she said, "We have, and nothing happens. The medicine doesn't work." Anyway, they came into the rectory, and we prayed. And they were praying the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, these friends of mine. And when they reached the crucifixion, I hollered, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her." And immediately, whatever was in her came out of her immediately. And you know what happened? The room was filled with the presence of the Holy God. I had never experienced the glory so beautifully. The room was present with the Holy God. Jesus was standing there. I knew he was present in the Blessed Sacrament, but we could exactly feel him, like heavy, the heaviness of God, the heavy glory of God. That woman never called me again because she was healed that day. She was healed that day, but she came fasting and praying. You know, it wasn't us who did it. She was prepared for the healing. She came fasting and praying. And that beautiful little book, Heaven is for Real, if you've never read it, get it out in the library. Heaven is for Real. The little boy died and went to heaven, and he saw John the Baptist. And he said when he came back, I met John the Baptist. He's a cool man. He's the cousin of Jesus. Amazing. And then he said to his mother, I have a sister. The mother said, of course you have a sister. And she's in the other room doing her homework. No, I have another sister, a sister that was in your belly. And she never lived on the earth, but now she's in heaven. And you know what? She says, you've never named her. You've got to give her a name. Isn't that amazing? The little boy didn't know his mother had a miscarriage. But he saw his sister. There she was, beautiful as she could be. Isn't that amazing? Heaven is for real. The heaven is for real. Jesus Christ makes heaven, heaven. Where Jesus is, there is heaven. Apart from Jesus, there is no heaven. No one who comes to me will I ever reject, Jesus says. No one who comes to me will I ever reject. I want to place heaven within your heart. I want to give you what you do not deserve. Yes, I don't deserve it. I want to bestow upon you the gift of my presence. I want to give you the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. So please, God, fill our hearts with heaven. Fill our hearts with heaven. We are in need of heaven. Fill our hearts with the presence of God. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 1. Paul calls to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It was not Paul's idea to be an apostle. From the moment of his conception, he was called to be an apostle who experienced the risen Savior by the will of God, by the will of God. Then he speaks to the church of God in Corinth. You people that have been sanctified, how? Through the blood of Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and you are called to be holy. Yes, we are called to walk just the way Jesus walked. Called to be holy with all those everywhere who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. When we pray, we are in communion with everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so real. Prayer is not only something I do, but when I pray, I am in communion with everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, those in heaven and those on earth. When you pray, you are in communion with everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus, those in heaven and those on earth. We need to pray for that pastor who is in Iran as he is in jail. We need to pray, Father, release him in the name of Jesus. Send him back to his family. This pastor became a Christian, and the Muslims have put him in jail. And we need this man to come out of jail by the power of the grace of God. Then St. Paul says, I give thanks to my God always, for you, Corinthian community, on account of the grace of God bestowed upon you in Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian today? If you're a Christian, the grace of God has come upon you. The grace of God has come upon you through Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, you are being enriched in every way. In every way. As a testimony to Jesus Christ. As it was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift if we're open to them as we wait for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have spiritual gifts? Do you have use them. I tell you, if you don't use them, they will dissipate. It is so wonderful to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us. I remember praying with somebody, and she was afraid of everything. She was afraid of living. She was afraid of dying. And I realized when she spoke to me that she was filled with guilt because she left the hospital room, and when she left, her mother died, and the mother wasn't very sick. And she always thought that if I had stayed there, my mother would not have died. Well, I led her with the prayer that Jesus was with her mother, and Jesus was with her when she opened the door to leave. And you know what? I said, and when you left, Jesus took your mother in his heart and in his arms, and she died in the love of Jesus. There was like a black, black curtain over her head that was completely taken off, and the power of God rushed through her. And she said, "What's happening to me?" I said, "Heaven. The power of God is rushing through you because he loves you, and he's telling you, you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to worry anymore." What else does he say to the Corinthians? That the Lord will keep you firm to the end. You too, me too. The Lord will keep us firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of Christ Jesus when he comes in glory. For God is faithful. Oh, hallelujah. He is faithful and he is true. He will always be faithful to you. He will always be faithful to me. God is faithful, and by him you were called into fellowship by his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Father chose us to belong to Jesus. By God, we are in the fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is real. You are not alone today. You are in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is with you, and he is in you if you are a Christian. And he has plans for you, and he has a destiny for you. Oh, yes, because you are filled with the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus. That's right. And you have gifts that God has given you, and God wants you to use these gifts as we await the full revelation of Jesus when he comes back in glory. Now I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says, "I urge you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you." Remember when Pentecost happened? They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus. They had one mind. There was no division. He tells the people in Corinth that there should not be any division, that you should agree on all the things in the Lord, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. "For it has been reported to me," St. Paul says, "by Chloe's people that there are rivalries among you." There is no room for rivalries. This is the rivalry. I mean that each one of you is saying, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Peter," or "I belong to Christ." There is no time for that. These rivalries are not of God. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I give thanks to God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say you were baptized in my name. I baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. Why? For Jesus Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is real. Jesus sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To whom? To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. I'm telling you, we are called to proclaim the gospel to people. We are called to pray for people. We are called that God would do miracles through us because he wants to, because that's his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Jesus Christ might not be emptied of its meaning and of its power. So what did Paul go up to preach? The cross of Jesus Christ, the crucified Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's right. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, salvation is not only something that happened, but it's present for us who are being saved by the blood of Jesus. It is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. For the Bible says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the learning of the learned I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolishness? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not come to know God through wisdom, it was the will of God through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who have faith. How did he save us? Through the mystery of the cross, through the blood of the cross. That's why Paul says in another place, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You have been saved through the cross of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has shed his precious blood for you, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Oh, hallelujah. And the cross to the world is foolishness, but to us who have faith, it is the power of God. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified. Hallelujah. Would that that be true in every church, that Christ crucified would be proclaimed by the ministers, by the priests. And this Christ crucified is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. That's right. Christ crucified. How can Christ crucified be the power of God? The Jew asks. It's a stumbling block. It's foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, you have been called from your mother's womb to be a Christian. Those who are called, you were called and you are being called, Jews and Greeks alike. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do you know that today? Do you know that today, that Jesus the Lord is the power of God and the wisdom of God? When he was on the cross, he is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Hallelujah. It's all about the cross. It's all about the cross. You know, these people in Corinth were thinking that they wanted a new teaching, that they wanted something new that would tickle their ears. And Paul says, I've got nothing new to tell you. I've got only the power of God. I've got only the cross to preach to you, that Jesus gave his life for you while you were yet a sinner, that you were called from your mother's womb to be a Christian, just as I was called to be an apostle. Let me tell you this. Jesus calls you into his sacred heart today. He calls you and says, I have bought you with the price of my precious blood. Amen. He says, my blood rescues and saves you. Amen. He says, my blood cleanses you. Amen. He says, my blood gets you ready for the kingdom of God face to face. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead. Consider your own calling, brothers, is the people to the Corinth. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you had noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolishness of the world to shame the wise. Hallelujah. I tell you, I was not wise by human standards. I was not powerful. As a matter of fact, I was weak. I didn't have a noble birth, no. But God chose the weak of the world, you and me, to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly, you and me, the despised of the world, those who count for nothing, you and me, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being may boast before God. Oh, hallelujah. You see, if we know who we are, we could never boast before God. If we know that we were the weak of the world, we could never boast before God. We haven't got that power, because only God does it through His Holy Spirit to the weak and the lowly, to the despised of the world, to those who count for nothing. You know, I was just a timid little boy for how many years? Timid, 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 until Jesus revealed Himself to me, and my timidity was burnt up by the grace of the living God, and I started to proclaim Jesus Christ to people. And I saw people being saved and being healed and being touched by God. It is due to Him that you are in Christ Jesus. That's right. You are in Christ Jesus because of the grace given to you. For He became the wisdom from God, as well as the righteousness, the sanctification, and the redemption, so that what is written, whoever boasts must boast in the Lord, that Jesus is our righteousness. We have no righteousness but Jesus. Sanctification through the power of His precious blood. Redemption through the power of His precious blood. As it is written, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. We cannot boast in ourselves. What do I have? I have nothing to boast about. I'm only a broken vessel. What can I boast about? The only thing I can boast about, what God is doing, what God did, and what God wants to do. I can boast about that, because that's reality. What God is doing, what God did, and what God wants to do. So if you have any boasting today, it is boasting of God and of Jesus Christ. You might experience that you're very weak today, but Jesus chose the weak of the world to confound the wise. You might be thinking that you don't belong, but as a matter of fact, you are part of the body of Christ through faith and baptism. You might believe that everyone is loved but you. Jesus said, no one who comes to me will I ever reject, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Yes, you might believe those things that aren't true, but God says, I have chosen you. I make no mistakes. I have chosen you, the weak of the world. I make no mistakes. None of you, it says, none of you were humanly wise by human standards. None of you were powerful. None of you were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolishness of the world to shame the strong. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that you chose me. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. Isn't that something? That's something. I'm going to read that one again. That's beautiful. Those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something, so that no human being may boast before God. Because if we know who we are, we cannot boast. We are broken vessels, and the transcendent power of God dwells within these broken vessels. And we proclaim only Jesus, and we proclaim His cross, and we proclaim His love, and we proclaim that through His blood we are made righteous, through His blood we are sanctified, through His blood we are redeemed, bought back, so that whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. So we boast in you, O God, that you have chosen the weak of the world to confound the wise. We boast of you, O God, that while we were yet sinners, you chose us. We boast of you, O God, because you are God living and true. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God, the Word of God. Please, please try to help us. We have to pay December's bills, and we have to pay January's bills now. Please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Let me just tell you this. God makes no mistakes. He chose you, who are the weak of the world, to be filled with the power of the unction of the Holy Spirit. He chose you to be the son or the daughter of the living God. He chose you to be his own. You might be feeling like nothing today, but you are something, because I tell you, you might be feeling like a negative. You know the negative sign, an horizontal line? But the vertical line going through the horizontal line makes it the cross. Through the cross, you are worth the blood of Jesus. Through the cross, you are worth the love of God. Through the cross, you have been made righteous. Through the cross, you have been sanctified and through his blood. And through the cross, you have been made one with him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May Jesus Christ be praised, the one who called you to himself. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.